Welcome. Thank you for joining us again. And I hope you have been enjoying the series. And that you continue to come as God opens up revelation knowledge to revelation knowledge. God had me put this website together so that people can understand that even when the world is deteriorating, even when pandemics are raging, even when worse things than pandemic come up on the earth, that He has made a path, He has made a way for each and every person who so chooses to rise above the situations, to live in victory, and to be alive and remain through these terrible times, all the way up until Jesus returns. And that path, that way, His name is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way when there seems to be no way. He's the truth, for He speaks only the truth, and He the truth, and truth comes through Him. He's the life. And know that when Jesus lives inside you, life lives inside you. So you're no longer like the ever-ready bunny that's running around and you get slower and slower as the battery runs down. If Jesus is in you, there's no battery of life in you. There is life in you. And you don't have to run down. For Jesus never runs out of life. So today, we want to talk more about salvation. Of course, that's what the website is called, Salvation Made Plain. Now, we've seen some instances of what salvation is and the growth paths through salvation. And tonight, we want to continue with that at a more detailed level. So we start off with our foundational scriptures. From the book of Romans 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. But what say it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith, which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So, here we see the formula, if you will, for getting saved. Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. But it's not just for receiving your eternal salvation. It's a formula for receiving anything from God. It's a formula for receiving anything that's in your salvation package. Looking at your salvation package, it says, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, what is salvation? We looked at that in some detail last time. Salvation is rescue, safety, deliverance, health, and saving. Saving from what? Every single challenge. God made you and me to live a victorious, happy life. But the enemy, Satan, wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so, our salvation in Christ Jesus provides us the ability to be saved from every challenge that comes along in life. Saved. We looked at what the word save meant last time. The word sozo. And sozo means protect, deliver, heal, preserve, to be well, to do well and be made whole. These are all in the plan that God has for you and for me. These are all in your salvation package. So let's look at how all these things unfold and how you can get these wonderful gifts of God into your life and into your body. First, if we're going to understand salvation, we really need to understand the structure of man. How is man put together, and what is man? And I don't mean the way a doctor understands it. I'm not talking about the cells, organ, and system. I'm looking at a higher level, a level that's more connected to the spiritual world, not a level that's more connected to the medical world and to the shortcomings and the limitations of the medical world. I'm looking to the world of God, to the solutions, to the flows of life, which have no boundaries and no limits, and which can bring health, healing, and wholeness when the doctors say it's impossible. I can't tell you how many times I've heard doctors say it's impossible, and God showed them it was not impossible. So, let's begin by looking at some popular teachings concerning the parts of man. The simplest one is called the monochotomy, one part. Man is just one part. What you see is what you get. And when the person dies, that's the end. It's hasta la vista, baby. It's gone. Now, they also say, eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow, the person may die. No. Atheists think this way. Very carnal people think this way. People who are not saved think this way. And maybe from some obscure religions, they may think so. I used to think that way. I was an atheist. But thank God, through the prayers of my family and friends, I got saved. So that's the monochotomy. The next level is the dichotomy. From here on up, we're looking at the way Christians think. I mean, not just Christian, other religions think some of these, but we're starting with the way Christians think. The dichotomy. Man is a spirit / soul. They're used interchangeable. Spirit or soul, same thing to them. Man has two parts. And this man lives in a body. This is believed, taught, and lived by many denominational churches. The challenge with that is the lack of differentiating between spirit and soul really limits the kind of prayers they can do and the power and effectiveness of it. Not only that, even worse, it limits their growth into higher theological understandings, into higher spiritual levels. The scriptures say we're to go from level to level, from glory to level. And when people are stuck at the level where the spirit and the soul are interchangeable, it's a big challenge. See, in the King James Bible, in the Bible, there are 456 verses referencing the spirit. And there are 432 verses referencing the soul. The mind only has 92 references. This is an entire Bible. But the heart has 765 verses referencing the heart. The heart has almost as many references, almost as many verses as the spirit and the soul put together. Heart must be very important. But the dichotomist, there's no reference of the heart. So moving on to the next level, the trichotomy. Tri is three parts. Trichotomists teach that we're a three-part being. Now, these three parts are the spirit, the soul, and the body. That comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. That you be kept blamelessly, spirit, soul, and body, until the coming of the Lord. Spirit, soul, and body. All three entities reference in the same verse. Because all three entities are referenced in the same verse, the logic is that they are different. That's the foundation for the trichotomous. And I agree with that. But there is no other verse anywhere in the Bible that has spirit, soul, and body in it. None. So that makes you kind of wonder, because the scripture says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth should be established. But there is only one verse saying spirit, soul, and body. There are many verses that reference two of them, two different sets of twos. So you could induce it from different verses that there's spirit, soul, and body. But there's only one verse that says spirit, soul, and body. The kind of churches that believe the trichotomy would be like the evangelicals. Evangelicals would be really teaching, believing, and living the trichotomy. Examples might be Pentecostals, faith churches, word churches, prosperity churches, cleansing churches, churches of that ilk. I'm not trying to get them all. I'm trying to give you a flavor. Now, the trichotomists also say the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. If you look at the outline says unscriptural. Why is it unscriptural? First of all, there is no verse in the entire Bible that says that. No verse. Secondly, it can't say that because it's unscriptural. Why is that? Because in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, you, referring to the Spirit, you should love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. In one verse, we see soul and mind. That tells you they're different. So if soul and mind are different because they're in the same verse, then the soul can't be the mind, the will, and the emotions. Plus, if you take all the scriptures and look at the scriptures, for example, in the dichotomy, where spirit and soul are used interchangeably, if you look at all the verses, the 456 verses on the spirit, and compare them to the 432 verses on the soul, and compare them, as I did, before computers could help you do this, and compare them, you will see that there's no way the spirit and the soul can be the same. It's just so clear. Just take a sampling of them, take 20 or 30 of each, and compare them. And you'll see there is no way the spirit and the soul can be the same. In a similar manner, if you look at the heart, soul, and mind, and in particular look at the soul and the mind, you will see that in the heart, soul, and mind, each one has verses that talk about will and emotions in the heart and in the soul and the mind. So the heart, the soul, and the mind, scriptures all show they have will, the ability to make a decision, and emotions. For example, a married heart do it good like a medicine. That is so well that for there used to be a magazine, I don't know if it still exists, called Reader's Digest. And they used to have a section called Merry Heart, giving you a lot of humor, a lot of jokes. I used to like that. Of course, at that time, I didn't know it came from the Bible. Merry heart did well like a medicine. Okay. So it's very well known that the heart, the soul, and the mind not only make decisions. I mean, does anybody here think that the mind doesn't make decisions? And the soul, many scriptures. The soul, Jesus said, here's a man doing well. And it says, the soul, let us take all this stuff and stuck it into a barn and prepare it and enjoy it. And the scripture says, and that night his soul was required of him. Okay? So he spoke to his soul. Soul sets goals for us. So look at the scriptures and you'll see that heart, soul, and mind all have emotions and all make decisions. So again, the concept that the soul is a mind, will, and emotions is just wrong. Now, we are a three-part being. And we're going to look more into this three-part being. The big issue with the trichotomy is what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. And we're going to look at that right now as we go to look at the pentachotomy. Penta means five, so the pentachotomy means that man has five parts. Structure man teaches that man has five parts. This is believed by those who have a hunger for Jesus, a severe hunger for Jesus, who are searching for the truth, and who have come across the teaching that says the pentachotomy has five parts, and start to understand the power of knowing that man has five parts. So, Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, you should love God, and again, you are a spirit, you should love God with your heart, soul, mind, and nobody is going to argue that we don't have a body. That's in Matthew 22:37. In Mark 12:30, it's written, you should love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, which refers to the body. And adds, this is the first commandment. In Luke 20:27, it is written, you should love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Three places where we see the five parts. In Luke 20:27, it tells you the importance of loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you back up to Luke 10:19, just 8 verses, it says that God has given you the power over all the works of the enemy, so nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. If you're born again, if you understand the pentachotomy, if you know the word of God and you're using it, if you know the promises of God and using it. In Hosea 4:6, it is written, God's people perish for lack of knowledge. People who are not born again in general have a lack of knowledge about God and His Word. We're hoping and believing that as you go through this series as an unbeliever, that the Word of God will touch your heart and your mind and you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. So nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. I have a staff of 8 people. And they've learned to use the Word of God to overcome every challenge in their life, financial challenges, avoiding accidents, and challenges that come after their health. They have successfully overcome every challenge in life using the Word of God. Some have been with me 20 years or so. Others than this in the congregation also have been doing this. I think the longest ones have been about 20 years. Learning. I think the longest one is actually not on staff, just a congregation member. And she has gone 20 years without doctors. Came to us with a very major challenge. Extremely major. Stood in faith, got the manifestation. The leading one on staff has been with me about 18 or 19 years. Came to us and after learning some healing, gone through the healing school, was challenged with a major heart challenge. Fought through it using the Word of God. And that was a long time ago, way behind him. Can't even see through the rearview mirror. The Word of God is alive, it's powerful. And God wants you to deliver you from every challenge of the enemy. So, to summarize the Pentecostal, you are a spirit, you have a heart, a spiritual heart, not a, you also have a physical heart, I'm sure. I haven't checked you, but I'm pretty sure you have a physical heart. But I'm talking about the spiritual heart. You're a spirit, you have a spiritual heart, a heart, a soul, a mind, and a body. That's the Pentecostal. And the Pentecostal allow you to unleash into your life great great moves of the power of God, great waves of anointing, great focusing of the power of God through your faith. The more you understand the Pentecostal is the more you know how to focus God's power and ability to set you free in those areas. Finally, let's talk tonight a little bit about salvation. Let's talk about salvation of the Spirit, because the Spirit comes first. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, you must be born again. Nicodemus, a ruler of his people, came to Jesus by night. And he said, we know you must be of God, because the miracles you're doing can only be done by somebody who's of God. But he came at night, so the Pharisees wouldn't see him. And Jesus said, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how can I, as a mature man, be born again into my mother's womb? And Jesus said in John 3, verse 7, what is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. We are born again through the spiritual realm, through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered for us, he died for us, and was resurrected for us. And in that process, he took all our sins, all our sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, and took the death for us so a spirit could be recreated, be born again spiritually into the family of God. When you're born again, you're in the family of God. You become a son or daughter of God. Technically, you become a child of God with the potential to become son or daughter. Heaven is your home. And if, having been born again, you die in this period of time, you go to heaven. Not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did. You get your salvation by grace, a free gift of God. But your action is to partner with that free gift by using your faith to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Along with the salvation of the spirit comes the salvation package. And in that salvation package is everything you could possibly need for life and godliness, and for victory, financially, physically, in your career, in school, wherever you may be. Victory is yours for the taking when you get to know your salvation package and how to receive it, which we'll all talk about as we get further along teaching about salvation. The great scripture on the effects of salvation is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "For when you're in Christ, you're a new creation, a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have passed away. All things have become new." So when we are born again, our spirit is recreated. It is new, born again. It is new, born again. But you look at the rest of yourself. In general, most people physically seem the same way after they've said the sinner's prayer. Some may get some healing, some may get some miraculous healing. But in general, most people pretty much look the same. They may feel peaceful, they may feel clean, they may feel wonderful, emotionally they feel great, but the body seems the same, the mind seems to think the same way. But in your salvation package is contained the fact that by you accepting Jesus Christ and being born again, your salvation package says that total redemption, total deliverance, total cleansing is available to you for your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Now that is the fullness of redemption. Not just that you're born again and your spirit is born again, but that your heart, soul, mind, and body all go through redemption and attain those wonderful levels that Jesus Christ purchased for us. Attain the gifts in your salvation package which belong to you by the suffering, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Now that basically concludes this module teaching. There's another page in your outline which has steps in salvation and a sample salvation prayer and a short one. The sample salvation prayer, you can look at it. I encourage you to print the outline and look at it. The sample prayer is one that you can read for yourself. You're only born again once, and you only need to say the salvation prayer once, but it's nice to say it. Understanding you're born again, it's still nice to say it. And so it's there for you to read and remember. But the short one is there is because once you're born again, once you're hit with the glory of God and the excitement of God, you want to lead your family and friends and neighbors to Jesus Christ. And so the short version is for you to memorize and to use it when you're telling people about Jesus. Lead them in the sinner's prayer. So let's just take a look at the steps in the sinner's prayer. Summary steps. One is, you address Almighty God as Creator because you're not in the family of God yet. You repent of your sins. Lord, I repent of all the sins of my life. You acknowledge that Jesus died to pay the price for all your sins. You acknowledge that God raised Jesus from the dead. You invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior. You accept God as your Heavenly Father. You declare your forgiveness. I have been forgiven. And that your eternal life in heaven is now yours because of what Jesus did for you. those are the steps. And I would like to close by leading you all in a prayer. Probably most people listening to me as I teach it are born again. And some coming to the website may already be born again. But I'd like you all to repeat it after me. And I'm just going to lead you in a prayer as the Holy Spirit guides me. So let's close our eyes. And just repeat after me. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
I thank you for Jesus. I believe you love me. So much.
That you sent Jesus.
Your only begotten Son.
To live for me.
To suffer for me.
To die for me.
And to be raised from the dead for me.
I believe
that Jesus took all my sins,
and all infirmities, sickness, and diseases,
so that I don't have them.
I believe that Jesus,
having been raised from the dead,
is in heaven with you.
And I desire to be in the family of God.
I repent of all my sins.
I renounce them.
I ask Jesus into my heart.
To be my Savior and my Lord.
I receive my salvation.
I'm born again.
Into the family of God.
And now I call you Heavenly Father.
Abba Daddy.
And I ask you
to fill me with the Holy Spirit
and lead me day by day
into a greater knowledge
and a closer fellowship with you.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you all very much. God bless you all.
Salvation, the foundational subject. Once we become saved, then the Word of God just opens up to us. So this is very practical, very rubber meets the road, if you will. This is the kind of thing we all need to understand. And as Pastor Joshua said, for many of us, we have already been born again. But we want to lead our family and our friends to Jesus and to salvation in Him. So these are important things for us to read and study and learn. So let's go into communion now, taking our elements. And we come to you, Jesus, thanking you that you have taken all of our sins and we walk in righteousness in you, and you've invited us to come to the table, and we can even run to the table because you want us there. And we thank you for the privilege, the honor of receiving all that there is in you that you want to impart into us. So on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We thank you, Lord, as we remember what your word says so clearly, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's one of the prices that you paid for us. And it's a salvation for our bodies that we can now receive and thank you for, Jesus, as we now partake together of the broken body of Jesus in that great exchange to receive our healing, wholeness, restoration, and rejuvenation. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." The old covenant had the covering up of sins and an annual requirement to go through the process. But Jesus came, and he's the once for all. The salvation package is a result of a once for all sacrifice for all sins, for all people, for all mankind. We thank you, Jesus, that you sealed the old covenant, but you established the new, better, and everlasting covenant for those of us that are living in these last days. You have provided everything we need to get through these days victoriously in your power, in your strength, in your word, in your name, in your blood, Jesus. We thank you for all that you have purchased for us, such great promises. This we hold in our hand is the cup of blessing, and it's the cup of life. And we partake with joy and thanksgiving together now, in Jesus' name.